Welcome to the Transom Podcast, a monthly roundup of the new features on the transom.org website, providing mathematical puzzles, games, learning activities, and the ever-popular mathematics lesson starter of the day. Here's your host, John Tranter.
You are very welcome to podcast number 120 for the month of November 2024. The name November, by the way, comes from the Latin word novem, meaning nine. In the original Roman calendar, November was the ninth month of the year, before January and February joined the party. Interesting fact you can tell to your friends today. And now, without further ado, the puzzle of the month.
There are four fictional planets orbiting the fictional star Vesperion. Zephira has seven moons, Callistrus has 10 moons, Draenor has 12 moons, Nymeria has twice as many moons as the mean number of moons for this planetary system. How many moons does Nymeria have?
That's the Transom Puzzle for this month. The challenge is set. Have a think. Make a plan.
If you get an answer, I'd love to hear how you or your students solve the puzzle. Fire off an email to podcast@transom.org. And while you think about that, here are some of the key resources added to the Transom website during this last month. Pictograms has 10 levels. The first 7 levels require the student to answer questions about pictograms, while the last 3 levels require students to draw their own pictograms. While the computer can award trophies for the self-marking exercises, it requires you as the teacher, signed into your Transom account, to award trophies to students who've done levels 7, 8, and 9. No, that's not right. 8, 9, and 10, if you think their pictograms are good enough. Some sums and products were suggested to me by subscriber Sarah. She was
wondering if there is an exercise already or if one could be made available about sums and products, where learners have to find a pair of numbers that add to make something and multiply to make something else.
She then went on to say that she would use it as a pre-task for factorizing quadratics. So here it is. And the last level, with negative numbers, practices the skills that young budding quadratic factorizers need. Name That Graph is another variation on the graph recognition set of exercises. Recognizing algebraic graphs equips students with essential skills, understanding how the graph shifts, stretches, reflects based on transformations, enhances students' grasp of algebraic manipulation. So it reinforces the idea that equations and graphs are just two sides of the same coin. So all of the things I talk about in this podcast, the links to them can be found in the newsletter, transom.org/newsletter. And that one I just mentioned was called Name That Graph. Okay, two-step percentages, another new activity, and as the name suggests, it requires sort of a deeper understanding of percentages. Now, talking of percentages, I wonder if you have seen the percentages debate on the website. Go and have a look at that, the link's in the newsletter, and leave a comment on your thoughts on something that even the textbooks disagree on. Okay, another new activity, Odd Scatter Out. It challenges students to get a feel for the summary statistics from a scatter graph. So this activity is based on Anscombe's quartet, which is really easy. There's four pictures, well, there's five altogether, but four of the scatter graphs have the same regression lines and standard deviations, even though they're quite different shapes. have a look at that then if you're doing scatter graphs and regression with your maybe your senior students. I received some nice feedback from Helen and Mickey Moore in Australia. Their comment was about the column method for addition page, link in the newsletter. They wrote,
"My son struggles with writing, forming numbers and putting them onto paper. He struggles to write numbers underneath each other in correct columns, even though he knows exactly which column they belong in. This has led to a struggle with completing sums, even though I know he can do them. Now that he can do them on the screen and type the number in, he is flying. This is brilliant for him and for me and his mum. Thank you so much for this."
So thanks to the Moore family in Australia for that very positive feedback. Much appreciated. Okay, so you're not teaching rounding in the near future, are you? Rounding to decimal places, significant figures and so on. Because if you need an interesting story to go with your teaching of rounding, I read in the Times last month that
there was some hand-wringing at MI5 in 2010 when the government admitted that a formatting fault on an electronic spreadsheet had led the security service and the Serious Organized Crime Agency to tap 134 incorrect telephone numbers. A user had told the program to round up the numbers so that it changed the last three digits to zeros.
Amazing, eh? Funny story. Well, yeah, it all helps to make Bring Maths Alive. Okay, this month's reflection on artificial intelligence is a positive one because it has genuinely taught me something new. Just yesterday, I learned that there are actually four different methods for calculating the quartiles of a data set. Please don't tell me I'm the only maths teacher who didn't know that. Anyway, when I received different answers from Wolfram Alpha and ChatGPT, I decided to investigate further, leading me to the Wikipedia page on quartiles. And to my great surprise for discrete data, it turns out there is no universal agreement on how to determine quartile values. Imagine that. So I've put a little example in the newsletter to explain what I mean. But basically, it's good to be aware that there's not only one way of doing things, I guess. And it does highlight the nuances in statistical definitions that we often overlook. So it's fascinating and humbling to realise that even concepts we thought were straightforward can be approached in multiple ways. A reminder for all us maths teachers, I guess, to maintain our curiosity and be ready for unexpected surprises.
You can find Transum Mathematics at www.transum.org.
Okay, this is November, we're heading into now. What are the important days in November as far as maths is concerned? Well, the 2nd of November is George Boole's birthday, famous mathematician. Click on the link in the newsletter to read all about him. On the 5th of November, those of you from the UK will know it's Bonfire Night, or what it used to be called Bonfire Night. Maybe it's called Fireworks Night now, I'm not sure. Anyway, that's the 5th of November. Remember, remember. The 16th of November is World Heritage Day. And I just looked up the word heritage and it's features belonging to the culture of a particular society, such as traditions, languages, or buildings that were created in the past and still have historical importance. So for World Heritage Day, I've linked to the History of Maths page, and particularly the timeline showing the great mathematicians of the past and how their lives overlapped and related to each other. Anyway, finally, on the 23rd of November, some consider it to be Fibonacci Day, as the date, if you do it in the month-day format, is 1123, which, of course, are the first four numbers of the Fibonacci sequence. So, finally, the answer to last month's puzzle, which was
Vesper bought a number of pumpkins in one shop at the rate of 4 for £20. He then buys the same number of pumpkins in another shop at a rate of 6 for £20. What was the mean number of pumpkins that could be bought for £20?
So, of course, nobody thought the answer would just be 5, the average of 4 and 6. So you have to imagine that the same number of pumpkins were bought in each shop in order to get the correct calculation. So imagine that Vesper buys 12 pumpkins in each shop. That's the lowest common multiple of 4 and 6. So he would spend £60 in shop 1 and £40 in shop 2, £100 altogether, and he would end up with 24 pumpkins. So what you need to do is say, well, how many 20s are in 100? There are 5 of them. 24 divided by 5 is 4.8. So the answer is 4.8 pumpkins. So this was adapted from a puzzle I saw in the Guardian newspaper way back in May, and I gave it sort of a Halloween theme. And the first 5 correct answers were received from Rick, Kevin, Marla, Chris, and Shrek. Many thanks to all those who took part and shared their answer and methods. I really do appreciate that. That's great. And that's all for now. Oh, apart from to say that my nephew Ben took a geometry test at school last week. I've had a serious word with him. He's promised me he will stop stealing tests. Bye.
Thank you for downloading and listening to the Transum podcast. You can find the website at www.transum.org, where you're welcome to use all of the activities absolutely free. Or jump in with both feet and become a Transum subscriber.